Our next speaker, Adrian DeVries, is from the BCPWA Prison Outreach Program, and they go in to do support work in the men's and women's joints. Welcome, Adrian.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. I'm the director of the Prison Outreach Program at BCPWA, British Columbia Person with AIDS Society. That's a consumer-based organization run by people with AIDS, for people with AIDS, with a mission of individual empowerment, helping people help themselves. Through various programs, support, education, advocacy, treatment information, peer information counseling, as well as the prison outreach program in which we do all of the things that I just mentioned. In Canada, we have a prison system that has a high rate of women who protect themselves against abusers. We have a lot of people in prison with mental illness, with addictions, who need treatment. And we have very disproportionately high rates of marginalized people, the poor and Aboriginal North Americans. Prisons are the ultimate vehicle against individual recognition and self-respect. And in that, they teach others that those actions and discriminations are all right. We support efforts to change the justice system with its bad conditions, poor or forgotten medical care, and early deaths. We support the fight for a healing justice that switches the billions of dollars now spent in a negative, often vengeful system to positive, humane goals. And especially, we have to renew the struggle for HIV and AIDS education, prevention, and treatment, which is what we at BCPWA are struggling to bring in some small measure to a few of the people who want them. I know that the standard of care equivalent to the community of large that inmates are supposed to receive by law is often not supported. And there are many other non-care factors which make the health situation for inmates with HIV very difficult. A study in Ontario and Quebec in the last couple of years have shown that the incidence of HIV among prisoners is 11 times that of people on the outside. Programs that are on the right track are only half implemented or poorly implemented because of an irrational approach to morality in issues such as drug use and sex. Rather than a fully implemented program through the four pillars with a complete harm reduction, including HIV, hepatitis C, sexually transmitted infection prevention, and health education, free needles, and free tattooing programs, because we know they work. Harm reduction is only partially implemented without addressing the other pillars of prevention and education, and the establishment says they don't work. Of course it doesn't work. It's meant to be part of a larger approach. The problems at Insight in the downtown east side for the safe injection site is experiencing is an example of that. We need to change from the punitive, moralistic, judgmental approach of the current governments and to change to leaders who understand a little better that they and society are a big part of the problem. A system that has swept all the people with mental health issues onto the street where they could not cope and automatically run afoul of the police. A system does not see that 95% of addiction is caused by childhood abuse, because it doesn't want to see that. Because if they see that, they have to accept recognition and responsibility for that. If they see that, they see that they are the cause themselves. It's easier to blame the individuals who only want to ease their pain but do not have access to help of any kind. It's very difficult to get clean due to lack of resources. And so people drift in and out of addiction and incarceration. Stigma about HIV keeps people from asking openly to get their meds or for bleach to clean their works. Condoms are rarely freely available and have to be asked for. People don't ask for condoms or bleach because you're outing yourself in that process. Don't ask for them from a guard because it's, well, you know what the answer will be. Education and support is desperately needed. The prison outreach program of BCPWA tries to educate in a small way and provides treatment information and support to those that want it. A persistent effort goes a long way. There's very little available in the way of education on HIV and its transmission and care, either for the prisoners or the staff, who know even less than the prisoners do. The prison outreach program delivered 28 workshops in British Columbia last year in the prison system. We handed out 2,700 brochures and data sheets, and we developed 6 new brochures in an easy-to-read format for those people who have a hard time with the regular educated language that most of us use. We set up our information booth in various prisons 26 times. We provided almost 1,000 individual prison visits with prisoners, either in one-on-one or in small groups. We responded to 750-some requests for information from prisoners. And we took almost 500 calls on our toll-free line that operates from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. However, throughout the system, programs that were showing positive results are being questioned, put on notice, or terminated by the current governments. For example, there's no needle exchange program in prisons. The safe tattooing program that was tried for a year and was shown to be eminently successful has been canceled. And there's very little way of drug treatment programs or detox that are available inside prisoners, in prisons, or out. And they are linked, of course, to treatment. No drug treatment often leads to incarceration along with the problems that we are looking at, including the high rate of mental illness that I referred to earlier. People who are about to be released are often not given enough medications to last until they get settled and see a doctor on the outside. Their drug adherence is compromised with drastic results. If people interrupt their drug taking for their medications for HIV, every time that happens, their risk of not responding to those drugs increases significantly. So this is very, very important. And it's not paid much attention into the prisons. Adherence needs to be at 95% for the meds to be maximally effective. That means a person can only miss one set of medications per month. They are often not even referred to a doctor on the outside who knows HIV treatment in the locale where they're going to. We've conducted 560 support counseling sessions, and we did about 70 sessions on pre- and post-release counseling, as well as handling 85 harm reduction requests. Education and harm reduction are much cheaper in the long run than the war on drugs and the Puritan mentality that punishes people for illness rather than treating them. We do what we can with very limited resources. We started out with the equivalent of a half-time person about 5 years ago, and the program was carried on in large part by May over here in the front, who started about 15 years ago with her friend Kita, who is now living on the island. And she and Kita used to go out by themselves just to speak to prisoners and give them somebody to talk to. Recently, Vera and Ellis have joined May. We are now up to 1.5 full-time persons on staff, and I'm working hard right now to try and bring that up to 2 by next year. We're trying to meet the need for education and support, and we do what we can to keep up. But as always, and as everyone here, we need more resources. If you think our efforts are worthwhile, contact your MLA or your MP. I thank you all for your unwavering support and overwhelming support and the work that you do and the awareness that you raise. Thank you.